On air, online, on demand, from New York City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Yeah, here we are, and want to break away right away to Texas, to Pflugerville, Texas, which is the town where the bomber came from. The police chief of Pflugerville, Texas, is talking with an update about the bombing investigation. Let's listen.
A few blocks, and you will see police officers and barricades coming up to the railroad, Walnut, and 2nd Street areas. It will take several hours to process the scene, and I know that we have asked every resident in that perimeter to leave their home. That was a difficult task, but that's how much we cared about their safety. Ladies and gentlemen, patience is going to have to work for us here. We know everybody wants to go home. We know everybody wants to eat dinner with their families, and we want that for you. But we also want to assure that you can sleep safe tonight. So we need to let these agencies do their job. I will ask the Pflugerville residents to go to their library or their recreation center, which is open till 9 o'clock tonight, if you don't have another place to go to, and we will help you. We anticipate several hours. I can't give you a time limit right now because the situation is fluid. We will also be putting information on our city website and updating as soon as we can clear the perimeter and let everyone come home. And that is on PflugervilleTX.gov. At this time, Pflugerville City Hall was closed down. It's part of the inner perimeter, and I need people to know that. And we will be taking some questions in a few minutes. So I'm going to let the other gentleman from the federal agency speak. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Fred Milnowsk with ATF. We continue to have unprecedented cooperation between law enforcement agencies. At the residence, there was bomb technicians from the FBI, from Austin Police Department, from ATF. They have cleared the house of any completed devices. And so now we have the ATF National Response Team processing the evidence in the house. That team has responded to every significant bombing in America for the last 40 years. They bring a wealth of information and experience. There is components in there. We've talked about the bomb maker and his signature and how we were able to tell that the same individual manufactured all these devices. There is componentry in there that makes us believe, have a high degree of certainty, that it is the same components that we have found in all the other devices. There is also some potential homemade explosives, and so we had to address that. And our biggest concern was to make sure that nobody else gets hurt, whether it's first responders, whether it's the neighbors. So we apologize for any inconvenience, but our whole goal here was to make sure that we have no other people hurt in this investigation. We're not done with this investigation. It will continue. ATF, FBI resources will stay in town until we have completed and turned over every rock in this investigation. So we will not be leaving town, and we want to make sure there's no other devices out in the public. We have a reasonable level of...
All right, you've been listening to a press.
All right, so there goes... there's not a lot new there, other than I think the one thing that was a little bit surprising was the police chief of this Pflugerville, Texas, which is the little town next to Austin where the bomber lived, that they have evacuated the entire neighborhood, blocks around this guy's house. I presume it's because they've got lots of explosives there, and they're worried about the fact that these explosives could light up, but it sounds like overkill to me, but I get the next door neighbor has to be evacuated, but people down the street around the corner? Anyway, that's what they're doing, evacuating the entire neighborhood there in Texas where this bomber lived. All right, back to our friends at Facebook. By the way, my Facebook address, my Twitter address is at Sullivan Radio, and Cyber Loafing just sent me the tweet, which I think hits it on the head. The most important thing to be aware of, Cyber Loafing writes, is when you do not pay for access to online products such as Google, Facebook, Twitter, etc., then you are the product. Your data is the currency with which you pay for that service. Yep. I mean, I love it. I presume you do too. You can go on to Google, just Google it. That's the vernacular now. We have access to everything. We don't need to buy the Encyclopedia Americana anymore. Everything is at our fingertips. Anything you want to know, and fake stuff as well. And it's free. Most of it is free. Now you got some newspapers putting up some paywalls and things like that, but that's about it. So what do you want to do about Facebook? This German author says just delete your account. I don't know if that ever gets rid of your information. I kind of doubt that it would. If you had to get rid of Facebook, would you? Would you really? Or are you like people I know who really, really, really check their Facebook many times throughout the day? They become addicted to it. Phone number is 855-295-6600. If you had to give up something, would you give up Facebook or would you give up Twitter? Would you give up Instagram? Would you give up Snapchat? Would you give up Tumblr? What would it be? 855-295-6600. Doc's been waiting patiently in Petaluma. Hi, Doc. How are you?
Hi, Tom. Yeah, ducks always should have patience, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the
good job.
Yeah, I deleted my Messenger and my Facebook both because I just figured, you know, that I didn't need them to be mining any more of the information from me, so I did it, you know. Not that it's going to do much.
You got rid of Facebook and the Messenger that goes with it because you didn't like them mining your information. All right. So what do you do? Yeah. What do you do when you want to search for something on the internet?
Well, I've got my Google still, but I've, you know.
Yeah.
So somebody's still getting my information, but Facebook isn't. Mark Zuckerberg doesn't need it, you know. He's got everybody.
No, but you have to go somebody who's going to grab your data, right? So when you Google something, you know that they're keeping track of you because that sweater you looked at pops up on every ad for the next month. So they know.
Yeah, well, I don't usually do much shopping by online anyway, so.
Yeah, but it's not even shopping. It's just looking at stuff. If you just look at certain things, they'll know. They know whether you're a righty or a lefty. They'll know, you know, what you think about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. They know all that stuff. They know so much about us.
Well, they're not in my contacts, too. I mean, I actually heard from one of my contacts what they were doing, and that's why I immediately went back to my settings and took them off, you know.
Well, I think
it's kind of an impulse reaction.
I've got three Facebook pages, and I wish I did not. We've got the first one we started with, and there's a lot of – well, it quickly grew, and we hit the 5,000 limit. And Facebook has I don't know what they call it, but it's for people like me who have television or radio shows and things like that. And you can apply for that, and they gave me one of those. And so that doesn't have a limit. The problem is that there's still 5,000 people back on the old Facebook page, which I never pay any attention to, and I've sent notices to that a dozen times saying, I'm going to shut it down, and I never have. But I got 5,000 people there, plus the people that are following me on the show page. And then I've got a personal, private one that only I talk to people that I grew up with, that I worked with, I mean, that sort of thing. I don't ever go on there. I just don't ever go on there anymore. I don't even bother. So I don't know if we're getting tired of social media. You think we are?
Yeah, I think so.
What's going to replace it?
Telephone. Human interaction. Really. Human interaction, man.
So there was a guy who started Victoria's Secret. He looks like he's about 90 years old today. And I saw an interview with him a couple of weeks ago. And I kind of laughed, but maybe he's going to be right in the end, because he said, now he's a very, very, very wealthy, successful guy who started Victoria's Secret. But he said he thinks the smartphone is a phase, is just a phase. It's just a fad, and it will go away. Do you think so?
Like the hula hoop? I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think so either. I think the smartphone is here to stay. It's just the tool that we use. All right. Hey, Doc, thanks. I do appreciate your patience and waiting. Let's get Bob in here from California. Hi, Bob.
Hello?
Hi, Bob. Yeah.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I just wanted to comment a little bit on, I heard you say, mention something about the FTC could bankrupt Facebook.
Right.
And I was thinking back to, and, you know, I was sort of triggered on the, you know, the ferocity of everybody going after Facebook, and it reminded me a little bit of how I felt about Equifax's data breach, which was far more egregious,
yep,
a lot more people, and yet I don't see the intensity going after Equifax that is being, used to go after Facebook.
You are right. There was a rumble, and once in a while I'll see an ad saying you want a free scan, go to Equifax. But you're right. Maybe that's the precursor. This whole thing about Facebook will go away, but Congress seems like they are focused on regulating social media. But Equifax isn't social media. It was your information and my information, but it wasn't social media. And I agree
and
with
I
you.
I don't have a choice whether or not to use Equifax.
Nope.
I mean, in my opinion, you know, they were criminal. I mean, their chief security officer had no qualifications for security.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 1,000%. Equifax, the damage was much bigger, much greater, and we didn't ask to do business with them. I got to take the break, though. Bob, thank you.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
Oh, man. All right, so here's a couple of the tweets that came in, I think, are excellent today. Absolutely excellent. Where did we leave off on some of this? Oh, Kaiser says, I'm an IT guy and I know all about data. I have never had a Facebook account. The only reason I'm on Twitter is to see Trump's tweets. Good one, Kaiser. Jamie says, I don't think it should be regulated at all. It's a private business, not a government tentacle of government. They should choose how they run their company, not the government. What business company will next they want to regulate? Anything government touched. I'm right there with you on that. Let the free market decide whether they want to do business with them or not. Junkyard Girl says, some of us try to keep silent on Facebook, but are required to have an account for work purposes. I would change it to a subscription service and keep government out of it. Right now, our price of membership is firstborn. Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, I don't have the story ready to go right now, but there was some case somewhere where somebody's suing because somebody's trying to write a law somewhere. I have to dig the thing out. It's one of the state legislators trying to write a law that says your boss cannot contact you after hours. Now, I don't know. What does that mean? Can't call you? Can't email you? Can't text you after hours? In the work that I manage, we are in constant communication. We send emails and text messages middle of the night sometimes. I don't know what are the is it a sexual harassment thing where they can't call you and if you're a interest in the part of somebody that's working the boss or something. I don't know what it is, but the idea that government keeps wanting to stick their nose into the private sector over and over and over, I don't understand it. All right, Guy Benson, he brings up the point about Cambridge Analytica, and I brought this up yesterday that Barack Obama did the same thing, and everybody thought it was absolutely genius. Let's listen.
We saw, for example, just in the last few days, a top Obama campaign official from 2012 saying, look, we did a lot of this stuff, what is it now, 5 years ago, 6 years ago in that campaign. Some of it was against Facebook's rules, and they recognized what we were doing at some point and chided us after the fact, saying, we liked you guys, we're on your side, so we let it slide, but don't do it again. That's a question or a line of questioning that I think Zuckerberg should answer for. But I think your point generally, Bill, is well taken. It would be useful overall, though, for the American people to understand with more specificity how their information is tracked and used by these tech giants.
Okay. That's where I disagree with Guy. I like Guy a lot, but no, people don't care. They don't want some. It's all laid out. If you want to know, you'll know. But what Guy brought up is an interesting point. So the co-founder of Google was on Barack Obama's campaign team. And so everybody after Barack Obama got elected and then the re-election, but especially in 08, it was like, wow, look at that. This is terrific. Maxine Waters, a bunch of people chimed in going, if anybody wants to get elected ever in the future, they got to use this big data. This was so smart of Barack Obama and his campaign team. And it was most a lot of the Google help and everything else. Silicon Valley. Everybody was praised about it. Now Cambridge Analytica comes along. And what did Facebook say to Cambridge Analytica? You are banned from using our product, banned from getting our data. Well, wait a minute. Did you ban Barack Obama's campaign team? No. But you're banning the team that was working for the people on the right. Yes. Does anybody see a problem with this? This is the power of Facebook and Google and Twitter, is that they can become very one-sided and they can say, we're not going to allow you to use our data. I mean, Zuckerberg came out within the last hour and a half and said that they are going to make sure and investigate potential abuses by developers that have access to large amounts of user data. Are you going to look for potential abuses only for people that represent Republicans? Or are you going to be equal about it, Mark Zuckerberg, and also ban people that are representing the left? It'll be interesting to see.
From New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan.
Okay, so I would like to take this moment to congratulate... Who am I going to congratulate? Let's see. I'd like to congratulate everybody. I'd like to congratulate the audience. I'd like to congratulate Andy. I congratulate you. Vladimir Putin, I congratulate. Oh, wait a minute. What am I saying? Well, so last night, I don't know what time it was, 7:30, somewhere around there, Eastern time, and the Washington Post came out with a big leak about how President Trump congratulated President Putin on his re-election. Now, we all know that it's a sham election, although he did win by 73.9%. So they threw another name in there just for grins. But it just comes down to the question of, so they have this conversation, the president called and congratulated Putin on his win. So that's number one. Number two is that he did not admonish Putin for poisoning the British double spy, the Russian double spy in London, and his daughter. They're still in critical condition. And that was what he was, supposed to do, according to the Washington Post. But the whole problem about this is, wait a minute, how did the Washington Post know what the president said? And furthermore, was that President Trump was told by his national security staff, according to the Washington Post, a sternly worded admonition that read, "Do not congratulate." So before this president or any president talks to a head of state, our State Department people and our national security people, and they sit down with the president and they give him a rundown of what to and what not to do regarding the relationship with this head of state, no matter friendly or foe. And so apparently the national security people came to him and handed him a written document that said in big capital letters, "Do not congratulate." Big admonition. Well, apparently that was on the piece of paper that was handed to him. But they also, President Trump likes a verbal briefing. And in the verbal briefing, Washington Post isn't sure, but they don't think that it was brought up in the verbal briefing. But it was right there in the written briefing. And that it was brought up about this business about, and make sure, do not congratulate him, and because it's a sham election. And secondly, whatever you do, make sure and give him the you-know-what for poisoning those people in London. Well, the president did not give him the you-know-what, and he called him and congratulated him. Right, first thing out of the gate. "Hey, congratulations, Vlad." So there's a whole bunch going on here. One of them is, how did the Washington Post know that? And how did the Washington Post know that within about an hour or two of the time that this phone call was made? And it goes all the way back to the very beginning, the very first day that President had taken the oath of office, and he made a phone call to some world leaders. One was to the Prime Minister of Australia, another one to the Prime Minister of Japan. And everything about those calls, everybody knew about almost instantly, and was reported that Trump and the Prime Minister of Australia got into a big fight. Well, the Prime Minister of Australia was just in the White House last week. I don't know if they got in a big fight or not, but the point is, who's leaking? Who is leaking this information? Now, there's not that many people hanging around in the Oval Office when the president is on the phone. I don't know if somebody has tapped his line to know, maybe they're on a pickup line too in the outer office. Who knows? But there's not that many people around that would know what he said. Let alone not that many people that would know what the national security admonition was in the briefing that was in writing. So at this point, President Trump and Chief of Staff John Kelly are furious. And they want to know how this information got out. Story is, Trump was reportedly fuming last night after the Washington Post reported about the written instructions, "Do not congratulate." The Hill is writing about only a small number of staffers would have access to those briefing materials and would have known what his advisors would suggest before the phone call to Vladimir Putin. So now the question is, who did it? Well, now, who is on his national security staff? Well, that would be H.R. McMaster, would be the head of the national security staff. And the buzz is that Trump is getting ready to fire him. Maybe that's who did it. We don't know. But the undermining of the president is this president or any other president. By the way, if I may, you can go to Snopes and check this out. Did President Obama congratulate Vladimir Putin at his last election back in 2012? And the answer is, yep. Barack Obama picked up the phone, and everybody knew it was a sham election, and everybody knew that Vladimir Putin is an evil dictator. But Barack Obama picked up the phone and congratulated him on the results of the Russian election. Marco Rubio, going into a meeting today, had a very interesting take on it. Let's listen.
No, I don't like he did it, but you know what I like even less? That there's somebody close to him leaking this stuff out. If you don't like the guy, quit. But to be this duplicitous and continue to leak things out, it's dangerous. And so I don't like what he did, but I really hate that there's someone in his inner circle that's willing to leak this stuff. And if you don't like working for the president, you should resign your job.
Yeah, you should. So who is it? Who is it and what would they do this for? But regardless of this, so Barack Obama did it. Nobody had a problem. Donald Trump did it. People are doing handstands. Washington Post, big news last night. CNN, headline news. It was huge. So why are they so upset about Donald Trump doing this versus Barack Obama? Oh, that's right. That I forgot. Donald Trump is in cahoots with Vladimir Putin. That if you're an anti-Trumper, you are convinced that Donald Trump works for Vladimir Putin. He's not only under his thumb, he works for him. Whatever you want, Vlad, yes, sir. You just tell me. Yet at the same time, it was Barack Obama who in 2012 leaned over to Medvedev and said, hey, give me a break. After the election, I can be much more flexible. So what's with the relationship between the American president and the president of Russia? I mean, you've got to look at this and go, if this isn't biased reporting, Barack Obama did the exact same thing, and nobody peeped. Barack Obama used Facebook data, and everybody thought it was wonderful. Donald Trump's team uses Facebook data, and Facebook says, we're banning you from using our data ever again. Now, I've told you before, Donald Trump is not my cup of tea. I like what he wants to do. But, gee, the one-sided evilness here in this country about him is way too much to take. 855-295-6600. Short break. We will be right back.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
All right, so I take back all my congratulations. I'm not congratulating anybody anymore, I'll tell you. I don't want anybody leaking that I'm congratulating anybody. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Mike in California. Mike, hi, you're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
I listen to you all the time. I don't always agree with you, but...
That's good.
This thing about Trump calling and congratulating Putin, It's a little different today than it was in 2012. Putin hadn't just, you know, attacked us and invaded our election process, and he hadn't just murdered, you know, people all around in Europe and
really
everywhere else. So I mean, well,
Mike, I have a. We're going to probably disagree on this one because Vladimir Putin has been murdering people for at least a decade, if not more. And Vladimir Putin has interfered, and the Russians have interfered in our elections every single cycle for decades.
I guess my point would be that it hasn't been as noteworthy or as well documented as this point
but
in time.
That may be true, but that also may be because of the fact that the media has a hatred for Donald Trump that they did not have for Obama, and they're blasting Trump about everything, even if Obama did the exact same thing. And that is where I think the media is causing a lot more of this problem than it otherwise would be, because I'm not trying to say that Barack Obama and Donald Trump are separated at birth, but this is where they did the same thing, and look at the uproar. And I think it's because there is a lot of hatred for this man, and in the media especially, there was a lot of love for Barack Obama. I think that's what it comes down to.
Well, I think because Trump is viewed as destructive to our, you know, our base values and you know what makes America America.
Well, but wait a minute, he hasn't changed either, and he was like this during the election, but people voted for him. People wanted somebody to break up the old guard in Washington, and they got him. Now, I agree, he's not like any modern-day president that you and I have ever seen, but people wanted that. People wanted him. So
Trump appealed to everyone's fear. It might have been your fear of immigrants. It might have been your fear of losing your job, if you're in the coal industry, whatever. But he nitpicked a good number of specific values that hadn't been addressed by politicians before.
Okay, I will agree with you on the fact that he approached about fear. And the fear that I had wasn't about immigrants, or the fear wasn't about my job. The fear I had was that Hillary would be elected. That's why I voted for Donald Trump. But you started it off with, we probably don't always agree, but I do appreciate your call very much. I want to get in Selena Zito. She was on CNN last night. This whole thing was blowing up last night on CNN. And Selena says, since the leaks are coming from his inner circle, this is what's wrong. Whether you agree with him congratulating or not congratulating Putin, no president wants somebody that's in an inner circle to leak what should be secret classified information. And she's saying it seems like a close advisor is definitely not loyal to him.
From the reporting, it appears that there's only a handful of people that knew about this. And it begs a couple of questions. Is there no sense of purpose or camaraderie or loyalty within this inner circle of the White House? And part of that comes from the top. Now, there are presidents that are incredibly successful by having this relationship with their staff, where everyone feels like they're part of something bigger than themselves, that they're all working together, and that everyone has each other's back. That was very true about Barack Obama's presidency. But if you look at some past presidencies like FDR, he flourished under making his staff feel on edge and manipulating them and not sort of always feeling like he had their back. President Trump, it appears that that's what's going on in his White House, but it worked for FDR. It is definitely not working for him.
I didn't know that about FDR. Robert Baer, national security analyst for CNN, he says the leaks occur because there are people in the White House who are afraid of what Trump is doing.
Clearly, people in the White House that are terrified about what this president is doing, his impulses, whether it's going to North Korea and suggesting talks or congratulating Vladimir Putin, they're worried about what he's up to, and that's why those leaks are occurring. And if we didn't know about these leaks, we wouldn't know what he was doing. And so you have a White House that's in full panic at this point of what the president's up to. And, you know, he can be mad about the leaks, but, he's running a very chaotic White House.
Well, I'll go back to Marco Rubio. Says, if you don't like the leaks, if you don't like what he's doing, if you don't like working for him, quit. Why are you there? Why would you be part of a White House that you don't believe in what the boss believes in? So, I mean, regardless of whether this was the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, the leaking part of it, Rubio's entirely right. whether Barack Obama congratulated a foreign fascist or Donald Trump did, you're in the wrong job if you are leaking to the Washington Post within an hour what it was that the president said on a private phone call. All right, I take back all my congratulations because the market, one man comment line band is all we can afford today. Market down 44, the 24,682. The S&P down 5, NASDAQ down 19. The price of oil, up to $65. And gold up to big jump there as well, up to $1,332 on a price of gold. 1 ounce. All right, on the comment line, this caller says Facebook makes it hard to take your information away from them.
As far as I know, you can't delete a Facebook account. You can only deactivate it. So they would still have your information anyway.
Yes. Yes, and your background's not going to change, but the foreground, your future, you wouldn't be sharing with them. But I agree with your point. This caller knows why Facebook wants to keep accounts active.
You know, they keep the dead accounts alive because in Illinois, the dead vote twice.
That's true. Especially in Cook County. Don't even get me started on election records. They won't let them delete the dead from the election records. All right, we're going to get out of here. Tomorrow's Thursday already. We have already some things that spilled over to tomorrow. We've got sleazy Thursday hour tomorrow with all the ladies that are going after the president. We have a pension crisis. We'll talk about that. In the meantime, have a wonderful rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow.